Do they have a full house, Lydia?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. My notes are like, boom, duh. Who wouldn't go to see a scheduled train wreck?
Yeah.
But then they cut to Darla, I'm sorry, Emma Jean, smoking in the bathroom. She's got like a big old stogie and she's like.
Right. And that was the first time we see her smoking in the bathroom.
Yes.
And then Alice comes out with the notepad and like.
Is it Alice?
Yeah, it's because this is the first time we see it. The second time we see it is later on when they're actually doing the dress rehearsal.
Yes, that is correct. So she catches her smoking in the bathroom, writes it down.
Right. And she's like. Mm-mm-mm. And my note at this point was. Alice is going to make a great reporter for OAN. Oh, so, okay.
A poor person's Harriet the Spy.
Seriously. But at the very end of the last scene where all the kids are going crazy, they do like pull over this one kid is like the only kid of color in this group.
He looks Indian or Pakistani, like Middle Eastern.
Right. But Ralph pulls him over and he's talking to Gladys about like, oh, this is the innkeeper and we need to gank the innkeeper because he ratted out Jesus, because they're doing this whole like gangster style thing because these are like pretty much 1920s gangsters.
I guess so.
So it's just it was like seeing it like 18 years later. No, that's not 18. That's like 38 years later.
I don't think you remember it from being 1 year old, Lydia.
No, but like seeing it, like this is a movie that's like 38 years old.
Yeah.
And seeing that, like, it's just, it's like, oh, that's super uncomfortable.
Yeah, just wait till we do Land Before Time. You smell me, Lydia? check that reference in the future. So we go to the rectory or the altar or whatever you want to call it. And, poor Grace is just like she's herding cats. It's a whole thing. Kids don't know what they're doing, so they're all over the place. She's like one person. I can't imagine. Most of the time, ideally, if you were going to have as large a group of that, like 30 kids plus, you're going to have at least two adult persons there to help. Like, you're over here with me right now. We're doing exercises, which is just a way to keep you occupied while I give these kids instructions. Then we can switch off and burn off some energy and, like, keep the room flowing. But really, in this situation, they've got one person trying to keep five or six different groups of kids occupied at one time. And that's an unreal expectation for an adult person and that many kids with that much attention deficit disorder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's getting frazzled. She gets super frustrated. She doesn't ever lose her temperature really bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's some bickering about the doll that's going to play Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Emma Jean's like, I'm going to just get a baby from in front of the store. She's like, you're not taking anyone's baby. You're going to use a doll. How about that?
Because mm-hmm. They were talking about like Eugene Slocum was going to be the baby Jesus and be like, no, he got pulled out because his mom for unspecified reasons. And then Alice is like, if I was by Mary, we would have real baby for blah, blah, blah.
I'm sure she wrote that in her notebook, too.
Yeah, she does. Because like this is the scene where Beth comes over to Alice and is sort of like, what are you writing in your book?
OK. And then there's the little exposition there. Mm-hmm. I'm just in case when everything burns down, then this is right. They'll know what happened.
I do like the moment where Alice says Gladys drinks communion wine and Beth is like, it's grape juice. She's like, I don't care what it is. And that's when I wrote my note for good reporter for OAN. Like, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what the facts are, so long as you can spin it to make yourself look good and other people look bad.
You're not wrong. OK, so, cute little side note. When Grace is trying to corral the angels, one is like, she's like, okay, you all need to bring bed sheets, tell your moms. She's like, this one little toehead kid's like, I don't have any plain bed sheets. Can my robes have balloons on them? And she's like, yes, they can.
And yeah, I was
like,
I know.
Yes. Like 4 year old me would have been like, do I get to wear my strawberry sheets? Do I get to wear my strawberry sheets? I want to wear my strawberry sheets. And I did wear those strawberry sheets to a togo party with our fact checker, Sean Hall. 20 years later.
Nice.
That's not true. 12 years later. Don't do the math on that.
I like the moment where Charlie's talking to one of the shepherds and they're like, my dad doesn't have a bathrobe. Charlie's like, well, what does he walk around in the house in? His underwear.
My dad had the towel with the Velcro on.
Oh.
Do you remember those? little maroon towel.
Yeah.
Little Velcro on.
Yeah.
Okay. So then Grace has to convince Imogene that the Mary didn't have pierced ears.
Mm-hmm. She also has to convince Imogene that the baby needs to be carried delicately.
Yeah.
And then as she's talking to Imogene about it, Ralph just grabs the doll and there's like this tug of war and everything.
Yes. And then what about Jesus made that one lady drop all of her plates?
Imogene says she didn't even get to name her own baby. I would have named him Bill. And then Alice chimes in with, no, I know what his full name is. It was the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And Imogene says he would have never gotten out of the first grade if he had to write all that down.
The lady is baking apple sauce cakes downstairs, drops all of her It's hilarious, but also like, come on. Come on.
I mean, it's not like she said he would have never gotten out of the first grade if he had to write all that down.
Right.
I mean, there's a huge difference, lady.
This is way different than our Santa Claus versus the Martians recording. Okay. So we cut to Imogene smoking a cigar downstairs. Mm-hmm. Lady checks on her cakes and they're raw.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, what's that smell? She sniffs around, opens up the bathroom door, doesn't see anything, but a huge cloud of smoke rolls out to her. She's like, ah, calls the firefighters. The firefighters show up. They're like, we need everybody out here. There's a fire. All kids that are already chaotic, super chaos. They're jumping all over the firefighters. They're jumping all over the fire truck. They're like, okay, I don't know if you know any firefighters, but I've called them a few times, as well as being related to one. Firefighters can tell the difference between smokes because they have to smell them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
One time I called in and I was like, there's a burn ban. I smell smoke. I see smoke coming from over on that side of the neighborhood. And the guy goes, that smells like yard debris, and like drives away. And I don't get in trouble because, like, I mean, I wasn't trying to be an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like go stalk the person and be like, hey, you can't burn things. I was just like, there's a fire in my neighborhood and I don't want it. Like, it's dry and I don't want it. And so I didn't get in trouble, which is nice. And a smattering of privilege, let's mm-hmm. not deny. But like, if a firefighter smelled a cigar, he'd be like, yeah, no, it's fine. It's not burnt food.
Mm-hmm.
That smells different than burnt house, which smells different than burnt electricity, which mm-hmm. smells different than burnt plastic. You know, like there are.
Yeah.
The fact that he didn't walk. But here's the thing. For the purposes of this film, they're like, oh, he goes into the kitchen, opens up the stove. The cakes are in there, but now they're burnt. And he's like, oh, you burnt your cakes. And they don't end up blaming the kids. And I'm like, you know what? As far as Ex Machina goes, I'm going to allow it.
Right.
And it's a farce. It's not real.
Right.
But I'll allow it.
And then we cut to a scene between the pastor and Grace. And the pastor's like, they say that the kids started a fire in the girls' bathroom. Some say that they were smoking. Others say that all the boys talk about are sex and underwear. And I mean, this would give us a perfect excuse to
go ahead. Was the underwear thing the thing she wrote down about, like, what you're going to wear? My dad walks around in his underpants. Is that what?
No. Because one of the kids that Charlie was talking to was another kid. Yeah, it wasn't one of the Herdmans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was just a funny line because these are kids and these are the sort of things that their kids talk about.
Okay, I get it. Well, yeah. The pastor goes on to say, well, I know the Bible says that Jesus said, suffer the children to come unto me, but I don't know if this is the situation. I'm like.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know if he said it was the Herdmans.
That's not what that scripture means, which is a little irritating. But like. I think he should suffer a little.
Mm-hmm.
Get those kids in there. Get them interested.
Yeah. Because I don't think he's doing a lot of community outreach for his community.
We see him on Sundays and at the service.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So I'm not feeling this guy.
And Grace just stands up and is just like, I didn't ask for the pageant and nobody else volunteered.
Yeah.
I'm just, she's just so sorry. She's a lot more forceful than me.
Yeah, I know, but she says exactly that what you're saying. She's mm-hmm. just like, I didn't choose. They chose. I'm going to work with what I got. And this is going to be
the best Christmas pageant ever.
So we cut to our poor beleaguered. I wish she'd had more screen time. A social worker.
Mm-hmm.
Before when she was like, hey, Imogene, tell your mom to call me. Imogene's like, the phone don't work. Closes the window, right? Well, now she's like, hey, and she hears all this ruckus inside and they may be abusing a cat. We don't know, but I'd rather not know.
Yeah.
She just leaves a gift basket. A beautiful gift basket, but also you called it what?
Reagan era welfare.
Yeah.
All you get is a ham for Christmas once a year.
It looks like a real nice ham.
It does, though, but it's not enough to feed six kids for longer than maybe a few days.
If you stretched it out.
And it's the night of the pageant.
They get the family gathers all their stuff and goes to the church, and they walk inside, and it's very quiet. And it's very empty. And the father turns to the mother, and he's all like, it's always like this, but it won't be empty. And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, I'm here.
Yep.
Which is, I guess, a comfort.
Yeah. And then they call the kids, and the kids come into the, what is it? Into the service. It's not the service.
It's the rectory.
The rectory,
or the,
yeah.
Or the chapel, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And they said, oh, yeah, all the kids are downstairs. And the Herdmans look, Mary and Joseph look dirty, almost like they're refugees. And then their dad chimes in with a
you see to me moment.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, you see, they were refugees. They were cold, alone, probably hungry.
They didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
They didn't understand the place they were at, but they had to be there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only time that the dad is useful in the...
He herds the herdmans
in
there.
He herds the shepherds.
I, at this point, was like, oh, right, 80s television Jesus. That's what we're dealing with right now.
Right.
It took me 2/3 of my notes to be like, oh, yes, 80s TV Jesus. That's what we're dealing with. I forget. It leaves out a lot, and I'm expecting a lot.
Right.
But it don't have that. But hey, do they have a full house, Lydia?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. My notes are like, boom, duh. Who wouldn't go to see a scheduled train wreck?
Yeah. So they're getting everybody ready. Leroy has just up and vanished.
Well, he walks away. He's all grumping about it. And we don't know why. But one of my most favorite parts is Miss Herdman's come walks in. And,
yeah.
Nope, that's not a whole sentence. I didn't say that right. But then Miss Herdman. I want to put an S in there so bad. Miss Herdman walks in. And it's like... Aww.
Yeah, and the pastor's there greeting everybody, and he's like, hello, Miss Herdman, you know, the person that is a part of your community that you failed to reach out to.
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, your kids had the, like, even if he didn't know that her kids were the cause of the firefighter call, like, I remember calling all my youth kids when lice broke out, like, you make a call.
Yeah.
I would have really liked to see the pastor be like, oh, I'm going to place you up here at the front, because your kids are... all really involved.
Yeah, but maybe if they'd seen her, they would have acted out or something like that. I don't know. It's kind of nice that she got to see them, and maybe they could talk about it later over not ham.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it was also this moment where he's kind of proven wrong. And
like he assumes that, I mean, like lots of people do about absent parents is that you assume that they don't want to be.
Right.
But she's working so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, God bless it. Christmas Eve, the shoe factory finally closes for night.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's the truth. And everybody has these assumptions. Like at the very beginning, Beth says nobody blamed the Herdman's dad for leaving, and they don't blame the Herdman's mom for working two shifts. It's always framed as though the Herdman children are so rambunctious and so crazy, no one wants to be around them and take care of them.
Yeah. Okay. So Grace turns to Imogene and is like, remember, tonight, this baby is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then leaves.
Right. And then Imogene has this moment where she
sees a picture.
She sees a picture of Mary holding Jesus.
It's probably the part of the movie I remember the best.
Mm-hmm. And she takes off her earrings because...
Okay. Because, okay, yeah, Mary didn't have pierced ears, right?
Right. And Imogene was like, I just got these pierced. And she was like, they're not going to close up in an hour and a half. And so Imogene, like, you know, relents.
Did you see how she took them off?
Yeah, she did not, like, unpin them. She just pulled them off like she didn't actually have pierced ears.
Yeah, they were clip-ons.
Yeah, they were
clip-ons. I'm sorry, they were clip-ons, Jen.
Yeah.
Jen.
But then Imogene is like, I'm a method actor now.
Okay, I call this a pure mama moment. Where she's like, babies are precious.
Mm-hmm. Depending on when you start the scene, this is the scene where it makes me think that this passes the Bechdel-Myers test. Like, if you start the scene right at the very beginning where Grace is in there and everything, then they talk about Jesus and it doesn't quite pass. But I feel like the tone of the scene really starts when it's just Imogene in there.
Uh-huh.
And... she goes ahead and she, you know, takes off the earrings. She, like, kind of redresses her veil.
She takes off the outfit that the baby doll has on. We don't see her wrap it.
No.
But
she starts holding and cradling the doll like it's a baby.
Yes. And Beth comes down the stairs and she goes, Imogene, my mama says. And then she stops.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks.
At how peaceful everything is.
Yeah. She's quietly alone in the dressing room downstairs. She, like, you see...
Firuza Bulk,
you see her pause and like evaluate the situation, and she lets her have a moment where she is like coming to the realization, you know, like I believe she doesn't know what she would do. I mean, she's very little, but what would you do as a mom? How would you be loving this baby? Like, She's definitely in an unfamiliar environment. She definitely has every reason to identify with Mary as far as she can grasp.
Yeah.
And then she says, hey, my mom says it's time to come up, right?
Right. But it's also, you see like Imogene change from this authoritarian to a more caregiver role. And when Beth comes in, you see Beth change. Beth, who has been so critical of the Hermans up until this point, is like, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I judged them too harshly. Maybe they like, because it's always this idea that people are the way that they are and they can't change.
Well, and that there's never any softness to the rigidity, negativity, or self-serving that I see. Right?
Right. But in this moment, you see that Beth is kind of like, oh, maybe. And again, this just speaks to Fairuza Balk as an actress, even at such a young age. You know, she like puts everything into it.
She really did set the tone. Okay, so even though she's a little late and Joseph has walked out already, her brother who's playing her husband, Joseph.
Yeah.
She gets up there to the top of the stairs and walks out very carefully. And she sits down with the baby, and she pats the back. And Alice is just like, what's she doing patting the baby? Like she's got like the baby Jesus would have colic. And I'm like,
well, and even Beth is like, shh, like, stop it. Yeah.
Like, give her a break. Motherfudger, she's five.
Yeah.
Not that we've given any of these kids a break this entire podcast, but whatever. So then the angel of the Lord appears, right?
The shepherds
appear.
Yeah. And they come out and they're in their bathrobes and their little hooked, you know, staffs. And everybody's like, oh.
So they're ushered out by the dad, and then they kneel in the middle of the aisle.
Mm-hmm. And that's when they start talking about, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them.
It's that beautiful little Asian girl who's doing the narration. I don't think she was given a name, right? But she's doing a wonderful job narrating. And she's like, lo, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, right? Nothing, crickets. And she's like, lo, the angel of the Lord appeared unto them.
Yeah.
And she's very composed, right? But then you hear, what's her face?
Gladys.
Gladys is just like,
hey,
I'm the angel of the Lord. And she's like, she runs into the boys.
And she starts shoving them to go forward. It's like, Jesus is here. Go on up.
Go to Bethlehem. He's in Bethlehem. Go on up.
Yeah. And everybody in it's really hard not to love Gladys at this point. And even the audience is like, oh,
they're all giggling.
There's a nice subtle irony to the angel hurting these shepherds, too.
I like that. It's a good subtlety.
It's great.
That was a good pickup.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got that.
Yeah.
So
then we're to the three wise men, but one's missing.
Oh, the angel chorus, I think, might come out at this time because they've got the balloon.
Oh, yeah, the balloon angel,
the balloon sheet angel comes out. And I'm like, yes.
Well, and like all of their sheets aren't like specifically white. You have a pink one. Uh-huh. You have a blue one. Uh-huh. You got the balloon one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Balloon angel is life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the three wise men, the three kings come. Yeah. And they've all got their gifts. Well, no, it's the two. And everybody's like, oh, there's only two wise men. Right? But then you see Leroy.
Yeah.
Right? He comes in late, but he's like, I think he'd been assigned frankincense or myrrh or one of the ones that doesn't make any sense. Because gold makes sense for a king. Mm-hmm. The other two, unless you know history, and apparently neither of us have a comprehensive knowledge of. He's like, what is the most precious thing that I have that I can bring?
Mm-hmm.
He brings the ham.
Yeah.
To a Jewish baby.
Well, he doesn't know about kosher. They didn't even know about the nativity.
I just think it's so cute. But he's like, this is the precious thing that we have.
Yeah.
And so he like marches up with this ham and leaves it.
Right.
And then so all the kids are singing now, right? Mm-hmm. Except, and I've talked about it before, and I'm going to talk about it till I die. When kids are excited and happy to be in a movie, they don't act right.
Yeah.
When a bunch of littles who are just there to be adorable are asked to sing words, and they've probably practiced it dozens of times. I mean, when I had to memorize lines as a kid, like, my parents worked really hard to have me memorize them, but, like, these kids don't know the words. And so you hear this beautiful angel chorus, but you assume it's the kids up in the rafters who knew the words the whole time. These kids are like, their mouths don't move at all.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
I'm glad they kept it.
Yeah.
I'm not mad. Mm-hmm. I was the kid who, like, if we missed church and then they were like, all right, we'd like the kids' chorus to come up and sing, I'd be like, hell yeah. And I'd run up there and I'd be like, I don't know the words. But in the car, my mom was like, if they ever ask you to sing the words and you don't know them, you just say the words supercalifragilisticexpialidocious in time with the music and it'll look like you know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I did that a lot. And it works. Mm-hmm. Feel free.
Yeah.
Use it. That's a life pro tip from us at Chocolate Applaud to you. So kids don't know words. Yes. And it's very cute.
It is so cute. So this whole pageant ends with, and Mary took all these things and pondered them in her heart, and they sing Silent Night, and everybody in the pews joins in.
And they all weep.
Yeah. Including Imogene, which is like, you know, the first moment, and it feels almost like it's kind of life-changing for her. At least that's how it's framed.
It really is. She sees that she, in a moment of vulnerability, can affect a great number of people, which I suppose might be a bigger message than the movie ultimately intends. Maybe it's just supposed to be a heart-moving, heartwarming something or other, but it doesn't matter, because like, what does Alice say on the way out? Like, she's like, oh no, it's the biddy with the cakes who burnt, and she's talking to other lady, and they're arm in arm, and I think there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
she's like, oh, and the baby, and she's like, the other one's like, I didn't, that baby weren't real.
So like the church ladies, they kind of pair off,
uh-huh.
And two of them, including like the burnt cakes lady, is saying how it was just such a wonderful pageant, and it was just so full of joy and wonder. And one of them says, and that angel was just amazing. And she's like, yeah, it's generally you can't even hear the angel because they're so soft spoken.
Yes,
and
I can't hear the lightest part.
Shazam!
Get up there, go on.
Yeah. And then the other pair is like, oh, I'm pretty sure. I was like, I kind of think that I should have let them use Eugene, because this is Mrs. Slocum, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And they were like, I wonder. And then the other one with her is like, oh, I wonder who they did get to play baby Jesus. And I was like, no, it was a doll. And I was like, it couldn't have been a doll. She was holding it way too real.
Well, then she holds it by like its back and pats it. Like, yeah. It's obviously a stick.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's obviously
it doesn't
a
really
stick.
Matter. Oh, yeah. Okay. So then now the kids are all gone. The crowd is all gone. Our nuclear family is doing the final cleanup.
My childhood of setting up and cleaning up church events. That was my childhood.
Yeah. It makes anytime like I just don't even like think to ask. I don't think to volunteer. I just stack chairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the thing you do.
Right.
I mean, if we had been at this event last weekend and they had been like, hey, can you stack chairs? I'd been like, yeah, because it's just how you throw down. Because mm-hmm. stacking chairs sucks when you're all alone and there's only like two people doing it.
I think there were like plenty of times in drama where people would just start stacking like, oh, but please make sure to stack the chairs, your chair and the chairs around you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you just do.
Yeah, because you're being courteous.
Yeah.
And it means that cleanup is quicker.
And you can leave. And they're like, okay. So the nuclear family's like, and Leroy brought a ham.
Yeah. And he was like, and I tried to see if they would take it back, but he said, it's a present. You don't give back presents.
And it was the first thing I think he ever gave away. So mm-hmm. I just let him give away his family's dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I would have maybe taken the ham and given them our ham.
Right.
I don't know.
Or at least put it in the fridge.
I don't know what they did with it. Maybe they served it to the homeless. Maybe there was a whole altruistic comeuppance of that beautiful ham. But I think that storyline needed some resolving.
The one with the food.
Always. Always the cake's travesty. The kid eating four pieces of fried chicken and not dying. Fallacy. The ham unresolved plotline. Wrong. But the last bit is the kids running through the street. Well, they're running down a sidewalk and they're like running through a topiary mm-hmm. with like Christmas lights and stuff. And little Joe, little
Gladys.
I should remember Gladys, right? I have a portal tattoo. I should remember Gladys. Okay. It's a GLaDOS, but whatever. Gladys is like, she's the last one and she's like taking a star. I don't think she had it in the pageant. So she must have ripped it off somewhere.
She did have a star in the pageant. That was like everybody kind of had like a thing to hold except for Joseph.
Oh, he had a ham. Yeah. No, not a ham.
No.
Joseph had a...
He had a stern, had mean a, look about him.
A Mary.
But that was the star that she was holding.
Okay. So it goes to her and she's like, Shazam!
She says, hey, unto you a child is born.
Roll credits.
And they do. And we came to the end of this. My goodness. We've only been here like a day.
Maybe a day and a half. Let's mm-hmm. not count the sleepless night. But like, I can't. And then that's the movie.
Do we have any other Sean facts?
No, that really is all that
That's
we have.
All that, mm-hmm. The lady whose name we didn't take note of wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the second time we've had the author of the book author the movie, so it's got to be pretty true to form, I would guess. So we can do a couple things that we have done. Who would you recommend this movie to? Who would you be like, hey, other than us, because right now, because we have a movie podcast, blah, blah, blah. But like, who would you be like, hey, you got to watch this?
If somebody came to me and said, I really like A Christmas Story, but I'm getting tired of watching it over and over and over again.
After you hit them, what would you say?
I'd say, Christmas Story is the best movie ever. And also, if you're looking for a little break, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Uh-huh.
And Frosty the Snowman.
You're on it.
And five other movies, and then Best Christmas Pageant Ever.
I would probably be like, oh, were you born in the late 70s, early to mid 80s? Does this movie mean anything to you? And I'd probably sit down and watch it with them. I would 100% watch this with Sean or Maddie.
It's the best after school special ever.
After Sunday school.
Nice.
And that's who I would show it to, either kids going to church or grown-ups who were heavily involved in the church as children.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Well, then let's like, hey, applauders, mm-hmm. You're like mid to late December now. Let's get to our shocks and applauds. Let's do it. Mayhaps I would start with my shocked because we want to end on a positive, right? For the month? For Jesus?
For Jesus.
Sorry. Okay. But also, yeah, he'd want us to be like on something nice. I would say that my shocked is loathsome adults. Yeah. Everyone I know who works with kids is not as jerky as these church ladies were. And I don't like that. I don't think it's true to life. I think they would have been like, oh, or maybe you could have cooked those cakes at home. They weren't like giant sheet pans. Carol. I don't know what her name is.
There were a lot of carols in this movie.
Yeah.
Not just the Christmas carols.
Nice.
Honestly, it feels like a depiction of like actual like gossipy church women. I grew up like the first church I ever went to was Christian Faith Center. That's like a big mega church for this area, and like this feels like kind of all of the cattiness.
There's a lot of I have some troubles with prosperity message churches.
Mm-hmm.
That is a personal thing. If it is your thing, I'm not trying to crap on you, but it is a, oh, you're not doing well, then you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, okay, fine, fight me. But like, that's what prosperity message means, right?
Yeah. Like the prosperity gospel is like very anti, like Jesus specifically said, it is the whole idea of Jesus saying like it is impossible. It is more possible to get a camel through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven, is because like the context of that verse is a rich man comes up to Jesus and specifically says, what can I do to follow you? And Jesus says, give up all of your worldly possessions and follow me. And the guy walks away.
Yeah, because he knows he can't do it.
Right.
He would lose everything that he's ever put value on.
Right. And that's the context of it. It's not just about this one verse. It's about the context around that verse.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I guess there are toxic church environments, and I'm not necessarily talking about Christian Faith Center, but like there are toxic church environments where this kind of like belittling of others doesn't focus on what I think is the true message of the gospel.
Right. But you also have this sort of in-group, out-group mentality with these kind of groups where, you know, it's like, oh, it's us, the really good looking ones. We're clean and we, you know, wear really nice
the
clothes.
The good Christians?
The good Christians versus everybody else.
Oh, the well-rounded Christians I know that they are not the good Christians. I mean, who's the better neighbor? The one who got in the dirt with the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. We don't have to go further. I'm just saying that the adults in this are like, ew.
We are getting to a three. But...
Okay, sorry. That was maybe four.
No, that was me. That was me. Okay. I was digging
I was following
this.
You right down
yeah.
there. We
yeah, we could talk.
As far as the movie goes, well, I have said before, and even though it's my shocked moment, loathable character is a delight because mm-hmm. you can just be like, I don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're wonderful women. I'm sure they're fantastic actors and actresses. Yeah. I got to dislike them thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
What's your shocked moment? What's that look like?
Oh, mine was just kind of like there's these moments of just things kind of jump around.
Mm.
And it's just sort of like, and it feels like they're kind of checking scenes off of a list. It just
like you didn't need the walking away from the bathroom scene to cut back to her getting threatened in the bathroom like that?
No, it's probably more like the pacing. Like at the very beginning, they're talking about, you know, how bad the Herdmans are and they're kind of running through it. And then this lady broke her leg and it's like, just take me from point A to M. And I don't know where we are right now. I thought we were talking about how bad these kids were. Are they the reason why she broke her leg?
She was probably talking smack about the family walking around with the phone like we all did in the 80s.
With a really long cord.
Mm-hmm. curly one that you could never get all the kinks out of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about you, Jen? What are you shocked about?
What did Alice learn? We don't know. She takes a list. She's all high and mighty all the way throughout the movie. She does get to see somebody else portray the character that she's portrayed. And so maybe she gets a little affected by being able to see somebody else in that position. But even if they just like they did with like every other character coming out of that play talking about, I like this, I like this. If she had said something to, what's Feruza's?
Beth.
If she had said something to Beth as they're like cleaning up or coming out of it and saying,
they really pulled it off. I'm surprised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or I'd like to see her in that next year too.
Oh yeah. I could coach her. Even if she didn't like fully resolve, even if she was like, I could help her with her lines next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. That would have been nice to see.
No character resolution there. And she had a pretty large part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did see two characters evolve and at least some come to like a new understanding. So I do feel like we weren't deficit.
Character growth.
Yeah. Any and all for like a 48 minute movie. Like that's pretty, that beats some of the other ones we've watched. So
yeah.
Well, other ones that were twice as long, three times as long. But yeah, I'm with you. I like none of that was super glaringly shocking, guys, but mm-hmm. but upsetting in a way.
Yeah.
So how about we go applauds? You wanna go? Why don't you go first with that, Jen?
Are you sure?
Yeah, go for it. Let you do two in a row.
I think Imogene's moment with just kind of recognizing her part, for lack of, I mean, maybe this isn't the greatest way to say it, but it was the coming to Jesus moment for the movie. Like she almost has this sort of Jesus is real kind of attitude about the baby. And I think that's a realization that a lot of Christians go through is this, wow, there really is this person that is a savior of the world. So, I mean, that's maybe a kind of a personal attachment to that moment. But I think that the way that that Imogene and Beth in that scene kind of play it out is very adult in the way that they're allowed space in order to show those feelings without a lot of words.
My applaud is similar. I'm sure I've said that about a half a dozen times on this podcast, but whereas my shocked is loathsome adults, my applaud is wholesome kids. So I don't necessarily identify that she is recognizing who Jesus is because she doesn't know anything about Jesus at all, right? I do see her, I interpret it, maybe is a better way to say it, as she is recognizing the selflessness of a mother. That is something I could see her incredibly identifying with. A woman who's at the end of herself, who is scared and confused and doesn't know what to do and is in a completely new environment and she's supposed to make it work.
Yeah, I don't mean that like she realizes who Jesus is and that he's real. I mean it more like there's this innocent baby that she really has to, in this moment, portray as the caregiver. And I think that she kind of reflects a little bit, looks like mentally she reflects on the fact that she is taking care of this family a lot while the mother's working.
Mm-hmm. Right. She's definitely the one who steps up and says, this is what's going to happen. And Ralph's going to be Joseph and you're going to be wise men and you're going to be a herald and you're going to be an angel. And, you know, she even like at one point grabs Charlie and says, you'll be Herod. And he's just like, I'm not being Herod.
Because he knows who Herod is.
Right. But it's also like she's very much like plays that role. And you see that at the very beginning with how she's the most outspoken, with the fact that she's like kind of corralling all these kids. And
she's the stereotypical oldest girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's not supposed to be this. I mean, she has to be tough to mm-hmm. put up with the older boys. She has to be motherly to guide the younger children. She has to, you know, interact with the social worker enough to be able mm-hmm. to be the accountable one to come and like
right.
respond. She has to make all of these decisions. And it's I mean, like they didn't mean to, but that is like uninformed trauma acting out.
Yeah, that's a side effect of neglect.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that sucks.
Yeah.
But and here's the thing. In the darkness, there is light. And so like the fact that she has this moment is really very beautiful, I think. I think that's where we're agreeing.
Yeah.
So, Lydia.
Oh, for me, it's the acting. So, you know how they always say don't ever act with children or animals?
Yeah.
This movie kind of proves that wrong because all of these kids are amazing actors. And the adults are giving it just like full on, like the dad, I can tell like the dad is like kind of, you know, not there until his wife pulls him in and he's like, oh, okay, now I have to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
But like all of the church ladies, even like the woman who played Helen, the woman who broke her leg, she's just sort of like, you know, distraught over all these different things. And it's just like everybody gives it their all. And I love it when actors give it their all.
It feels a little community theater,
mm-hmm.
but in the best way.
Yeah, like everybody knows each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the kids, they every time they do a rough and tumble scene with the kids, you can tell the director probably was just like, okay, now go beat him up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because there's this moment where the shepherds start, like, you know, fighting with
each
other.
Yeah, they tussle.
Yeah.
But then also the angels do it.
It's so adorable.
But like, okay, so there's this group of, like, seven angels.
Yeah.
And somebody takes a swing, and then, like, five out of the seven angels end up on their head. I don't care if that's acting or not. I think it was brilliant to leave it in.
Adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, it feel like they also gave the kids actual dialogue that kids would say. You know, like there's this kid at the very beginning who's like, what if someone gets sick? Or like, what is it? Grace says, everybody needs to make sure that they show up to all of the rehearsals. And there's going to be four.
What if I get sick?
You're not going to get sick. And Mary and Joseph specifically need to show up.
But what if they get sick?
They're not going to get sick, Elmer. It's so adorable.
It's pretty good. Yeah. It's very relatable.
Yeah, especially if you've ever like dealt with that kid.
Yeah.
So
it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More than likely. It'll be super fine.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about
You're good.
Yeah.
So I got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
What are you thankful for this year?
Hold on, I have to get over my eye roll.
They asked it in the movie.
Oh.
And it's the end of the year.
Well, it's not November anymore.
No, it's not November anymore.
You know, I feel like... And I know this isn't like super squishy, but like this is the first Christmas in a number of Christmases where I'm very excited for Christmas. I want to do presents. I want to do a tree. I want to do food. I want to do hanging out with people. I want to do decorating cookies. I want to wear a stupid Christmas sweater at some point. I'm going to have cocoa and like look outside when it's snowing and like have a little sigh to myself. And then like I'm going to go and keep chopping vegetables for my mother. And then I'm going to like... cuddle my kitten and like sleep in a little bit. Okay, maybe I do that too much, but I will appreciate it in the Christmas spirit. I'm gonna wear slippers and I'm gonna like, I the whole thing. If I get my picture with Santa, that'll be the candy cane in my cup of cocoa. But I'm here for it this year. And I haven't been here for it for a very long time.
Nice.
And that's why I'm thankful. That sounds real dumb now, but like it's true. I'm sorry.
What about you, Lydia?
I'm grateful for the people in my life that, you know, this last few months in 2021 have kind of sucked for me. My life kind of got flipped, turned upside down, but in not a fun way where I go and live with rich family members. Though I would say that I'm kind of currently living with rich family members.
Rich with our love for you.
Yeah. So I'm grateful for the relationships in my life and the people who put up with me even at my worst or when I got demanding stuff. And, you know, it's like... I feel really grateful. I mean, when you were talking about being happy for Christmas, yeah, despite everything that's happened, I think I'm more excited for Christmas this year because of the people that I'm around.
I'm going to make you make cookies and we're going to have cocoa. I'm going to put a candy cane in that cocoa. We're going to sit in front of a fireplace.
You're going to get the candy canes that dissolve in the cocoa?
Look, they have powdered candy canes at Winco.
Mm-hmm.
You just get it crushed already.
Mm-hmm.
Just dump that Jean right in.
Because they got those quick dissolving ones, as sticks, and then you can swirl them around and then all of like the peppermint goes to the bottom. And so like the very bottom of the cocoa is like chocolate and peppermint. It's just like right in your face.
And that's what we dip the cookies in.
What about you, Jen?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thankful that Naomi and I had some trips together, both to the beach for my birthday. And we recently went to Bruce Fest, a Bruce Campbell film festival. And we might share a few photos from that on the Twitters and the Facebooks and the Instagrams. I'm also grateful for this new job that I started, which is, you know, helping us have a better Christmas than I think that we've had in quite some time. So, yeah, I hate to say it after what we've discussed, but I think prosperity is kind of a...
It's not prosperity of finance. It's just finances. That's definitely an aspect of it. But you are able to, like, I remember when I talked to you about wanting to get a Nintendo Switch, something that I had already paid for and I had already budgeted for. And then everything blew up in my face. And you were like, I want to help you out. And that's the prosperity that I'm talking about.
I mean, we all go through seasons. They are, oh, hey, applauders, why don't you join me on this philosophical journey that I'm about to expound on for no good reason? You're going to have seasons, and maybe you're in a season of like heavy fruit. You got all the fruit and you're like, yeah, I got all this fruit. Maybe you're in a barren season and you're like, remember when I had all that fruit? And the thing is, if life works the way it's supposed to, you're going to have both. I mean, maybe you're great at planning, so it's not a barren time of like necessities, right? But maybe you're feeling lonely and like it's a hard time for a lot of people. Hey, maybe I'm listening to this several weeks from now and I'm like, Naomi, why are you crying while you're listening to your own podcast? You're going to be in a dark place, but knowing that you get to come out of it and that there are people who are going to cheer you on when you do, and while you're in it, they're not going to disappear on you. Like, that's the stuff. And that's what we need to like encourage each other. You can't come alongside somebody who's in a dark place. And I say dark, but not as in like, we've talked about dark and light being a weird concept. Look at other podcasts, our other episodes of this podcast for that. But like when I'm saying, when you feel the loss, having somebody come alongside you and be like, yep, there's that loss, feel better, doesn't help. But knowing that somebody's going to sit beside you in that place, and then when things even just a micron move in the right direction, it is the cheering section. Like, it means the absolute world. So, I mean, hey, if you this season need cheer, find those people who cheer you on. If you see somebody who's been in the bad and you see them move a micron one direction or the other, cheer their ass on. Let them know what a good job they're doing, because we've all needed it. And that is me waxing poetic enough for December.
The more you know. A couple of house cleaning things. We do have a recording coming up with Collateral Cinema. That's recording is on the 5th. And so look for that. Keep up with Collateral Cinema, and we'll retweet when they publish that. You can also find us at shockedandapplaud.com. We've got a brand new, I say brand new in the last 2 months, podcast page. You can click on the Become an Applauder link at the top to become a Patreon member at the $1 level, which is $12 a year, and really help us put forth some search engine advertising to help more applauders reach us and follow. You can also click on the little coffee button at the bottom of the page if you're not really interested in subscribing, but you do want to give a little bit to the show, because we do put in a lot of effort, especially in the editing, if I may say so.
Definitely.
All the credit to you, Jen.
You can find us at Shocked and Applaud on Facebook and Shocked Applaud at Twitter and Instagram. And you can also email us, shockedandapplaud@gmail.com. And we have a contact form at shockedandapplaud.com as well.
You can also find us at frolic.media/podcasts, along with their other fine podcasts.
All right. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. All of those celebrations that you might have. Hey, New Year's going to happen. January's right around the corner. What are we going to subject you to then? I don't know.
Nope. Don't know
either. Happen, though.
Yeah.
There are so many twos in the year of 2022. But it's... Yeah, it's 2022 next year.
2022. Yeah. It's right around the corner. It's 22 years later from the year 2000.
Which is when I graduated.
Same.
Until next time, this is Jen McQuaid.
This is Naomi McQuaid.
And this is Lydia Malcolm.
And this is Shocked and Applaud. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for caroling along with us through the made-for-television 1983 movie, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, Applauder. We hope you've celebrated the holidays to the best of your healthy group-gathering ability. If you didn't catch my mention earlier, we were recently guests on one of our favorite alternative movie review shows, Collateral Cinema, to review the Bo Derek film, Bolero. Check out a link to this episode in this release's description. Hey, this is your audio engineer and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Recorder, Jen. Thank you so much for all of your listening support here at Shocked and Applaud. We're not going anywhere. We've got another new season coming in January, and it's Naomi's choice. So, it could be anything. I hope you like surprises, you holiday gift-getter, you. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.
Yay!
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And it works.